Silence your phones and grab some popcorn. It's time for the Movie Club. Each week we watch a movie and we talk about it. And this week, Matthew, Taylor, and I watched You Only Live Twice, which is the second to last Sean Connery Bond movie.
In the Sean Connery James Bond cinematic universe.
Yeah, in the Sean Connery James Bond cinematic universe. It is the first one to actually show Blofeld's face.
So he was in other Bond movies?
Yes. So this one, at the time that this comes out, this is like, if for Bond fans, a big reveal, because it's like, so he's in From Russia with Love and he's in Thunderball, but he's like this like behind the scenes character where like they're either like referenced to Blofeld or they just show like the close up of the cat and like him petting it.
Okay.
And so this is like the first time that you actually like meet Blofeld, like actually like really like get to see Blofeld. So it was a big moment at the time. And obviously now it's kind of a little bit of a parody of itself just because like so many like Dr. Evil's based off that and everything. And like Dr. Evil is directly based off this Blofeld.
I think I like Dr. Evil more than Blofeld.
Oh, I definitely did.
But yeah, what did you guys think of this one?
Yeah, that whole movie, I was just watching it thinking, this is just the worst version of Austin Powers.
Because they go into space.
Yeah.
The little thing that eats everything. And then
Pac-Man. I was thinking of that thing as Pac-Man the entire movie. The outer space Pac-Man.
The Pac-Man space capsule. James Bond has a hairy chest and Austin Powers has a hairy chest. And then they
just replaced the sharks with lasers on their foreheads with piranhas.
Yeah.
Also not as cool.
There is a later Bond movie where they have sharks. I'm trying to think of what it is. But there is one where they actually like feed people the sharks too. So yeah. it's almost there.
I liked it enough. I thought it was a much better made movie than Moonraker.
Oh, for sure.
And maybe even better made than Live and Let Die. The action sequences were fucking great. I thought those were all really great, but it's like there was a lot of stretch of the movie. I think this is kind of a trait or like a trait of the Bond movies that maybe I'm just not a fan of, but it felt like there's long periods of time where it's just like nothing happening.
Oh, by the way, we're like filling out the movie stuff as we're actually doing this. Yeah. For Matthew's sake though, we're only doing Bond movies in July. So you have to put in a James Bond movie. Yeah.
rips up paper.
Here, we'll put back in. Let's see. Let's see if one in here.
I don't even know the Bond movies.
Here, we'll put this in.
You have a phone, don't you?
I suppose.
That was a pick from last week. So we'll put that one in.
Okay.
In exchange for Matthews. But anyway, yeah, the early, even into like the Roger Moore ones, like they definitely do this too, but not as bad. The Sean Connery ones are very slow. Which is kind of just.
Did we only fold twice?
Yeah, fold twice. But yeah, like
it seems like too big.
Well, fold it again then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess I folded it three times. But anyway, I feel like that part of that is just because that's like the way movies were made in the 60s. But then at the same time, there's so many scenes that could have been cut from this that like were unnecessary.
The whole fucking like getting married thing.
Yeah.
Was so like, why is I was like, why is this happening right now? And like they kill off Bond, like even they fucking kill off like the Bond girl.
Yeah.
Who was like in like Japanese version of Audrey Hepburn. They like kill her off and then they just have him get married to someone who we've never met. And then she's just like there and she swims in her underwear.
Yeah.
And then she was dragged along for the rest of the mission doing absolutely nothing.
Just swimming in the ocean in her underwear. Like why?
Yeah. It's like the only, only purpose that that like wedding scene serves is just like a look into like what like a wedding would be for a different culture, which I mean, like,
why do we need that in a Bond movie?
Well, no, I mean, you don't, but that's like, I don't know. Some of the movies handle it and some don't, but it's kind of like, it's a weird thing where there's like tropes in Bond movies that exist, but like they only exist in like really like half the movies. But when there's like 25 movies, it means that, well, 24 movies, it means that 12 of them have this. So it's kind of
a
trope,
which very no, that does qualify as a trope because it's in,
but it's so weird because like so many of the movies don't have it, but it's kind of a thing to like show like some sort of like cultural scene of some sort in like Bond movies. It happens in some of them.
I mean, I liked all the Japanese stuff
in this
movie. And they showcased a lot of the landscapes, like in that fucking, that helicopter scene, there's a lot of shots of like the mountains and everything. And, I liked when they're driving through the city at the beginning, cause at this point it was like Japanese cinema was on the come up. But American audiences hadn't really been exposed to that type of stuff as much because Japan was so behind on movies because we kind of bombed the fuck out of their country. But like this was maybe 10 years after Japanese movies started really gaining traction. Like Seven Samurai had already come out. Godzilla had already come out at this point.
Yeah.
Like it was starting to get back to there. And like, it's great to see like what Japan looked like in the 1960s and stuff. So I liked like that stuff, and it's fine to have like Japanese cultural stuff in there, as long as it's not men come first, women come second.
Yeah.
Gosh. That was pretty disgusting.
That's a great example of like why the Sean Connery ones age very poorly.
And
cause that kind of stuff exists in pretty much every single one of his movies.
It'd be one thing if he was like if that guy was like a bad character, or like if he's some sort of antagonist and he's like supposed to be a good guy and he's like using it as a ploy to like, but no, he's like a good guy the whole movie, but he's a fucking pig who has like women sex slaves who bathe him. So it was like, I didn't like that. And then like the long ass wedding, like part of the movie and when he's married, like what, why is this here?
Yeah. And it's so weird too, like how much of an asshole is Bond in this, that like even for a mission he's like, I'm not fucking some ugly chick, like
dog face, like amazing,
like he was straight up like, even for a mission, for a fake wedding that it was literally going to exist for like a day, he was like, she's ugly though, like.
And then when she's pretty, he's like, oh, I'm okay with this. Like, fuck you, Bond.
The Sean Connery Bond movies are like super misogynistic.
Is because I'm a noob, is that an actor thing or is that like a director thing?
Sean Connery is the actor.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, but like who is like, why is it his movies that are that way?
I think it's probably a combination of both. Because Roger Moore has like a completely different attitude about it than Sean Connery does when he takes over after Sean Connery, and he starts doing like a little more like of a comedic James Bond. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of like they take like the focus off of that. Like he's like, you know, this like world gallivanting womanizer, and it's more about like he's like this comedic spy.
Okay.
With corny one liners.
Yeah.
And then he has sex with women, you know, a lot,
but like they're like, everybody's like cool with it though, like they're just right. like it's not like this like weird like Sean they're Connery, your sex slaves.
Sean Connery had sex with like three or four different women in this movie.
Yeah.
And that one that he was like spending most of his time around, and it seemed like he was really liking that chick, and like they're like, oh, you can marry someone for a day, and he like looked over, is like, it's like, oh, maybe he cares about her. And then she died, and then he didn't care.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part, is that you expect him to be like upset that she dies because he is actually like involved with her, like past the just like sex level of it.
Like if you compare it to like the Daniel Craig James Bond movies, you would get an emotional scene out of that.
Yeah.
And whatever. And something that you could really feel, like with the Daniel Craig, Sam Mendes ones.
The bigger sex partner that I was confused about was the I'm a spy one. I was like, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Where he just openly admits he's like, I'm actually a spy.
Yeah, it's I was waiting for him to like somehow like wittily like work his way out of it. And like, I'm a spy, but it's not like like a U.S. spy coming over here to like save the day. It's like, well, I'm a spy for this company and just like downplay it or something like that. And then he's just like flat out just, I'm a spy.
Well, I think it's like... it's hard to follow because like even me, like where I've seen this movie multiple times, I'm still not sure about it. But he says something about like how like I'm looking to get this and it's worth $300,000 or whatever. And we can like fly to England now or whatever. And he's like trying, like he's like kind of doing this like, you know, I'm trying to like make a whole bunch of money and we can get out of here. But that's not really his plan. But like it's still like not very clear. Like I even don't get it. So it's just not.
It's a little all over the place.
For sure. How about my favorite part of the movie is that to disguise James Bond as Japanese, they give him a wig.
They give him a bad wig
and they give him a spray tan and they're like, that's good.
And they like slightly altered his eyes, but not really.
I am so glad that they didn't do it like really
super racist. Give him like, oh God, if this was Chinese, they'd like do something super racist with it. Like give him like one of the hats and like buck teeth. And
but like, well,
I can only imagine like the Brett Ratner version of this movie where that happens.
But it's just like, it's not even like they like do this whole like surgery scene or whatever, where they're like applying all this stuff to him.
Oh no. And don't forget they wax his chest too, because Japanese men don't have hairy chests. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Cause at the end of the movie he had it already. So that means in the course
he's very manly.
He has a lot of testosterone.
Oh my gosh.
Cause that's the thing. It's like all
British
this
Grizzly Adams,
all this makeup, like just goes all this like plastic, not plastic surgery, but like whatever that they did to him is all just gone as soon as he gets in the water. They're just like, well, all right.
Yeah, he had his normal hair at the end. Yeah,
exactly.
He looked like Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, he definitely...
He looked like Leonard Nimoy if Leonard Nimoy was wearing a very bad wig.
Yeah. it's like one of like the... You notice like they only show Sean Connery underwater like really quickly because you'd like his, if you like watch his hair,
toupee would be falling off.
Yeah, well, if you watch his hair when they do like the underwater stuff, it's like so obvious that he's just balding.
I want to go back and see this.
It's
now.
Like really bad.
I didn't look out for it. Yeah. But.
The entire movie, he's wearing a toupee. Like he's just, well, he's like, he's wears a toupee actually in all the Bond movies. I think he was like balding from his 30s.
Damn. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not saying like, I'm not like shaming him for that. I'm just saying like that's
Hulk Hogan.
You know who else is working on it? Somebody in this room, not named Taylor or Ben.
Oh no. That's okay. It happens.
It's all right.
Well, that's what like, cause so in the making of this movie, Sean Connery has a very bad relationship with the producers. And like, even from like the third movie that he does, he's like, I want out of this, but he has a contract to do up until this one. And he's just like fighting them the entire way and like just being kind of like an asshole the entire time. And like when the producers were on the set, he would refuse to act. He'd be like, they have to leave or I'm not making a scene.
Holy shit.
And so, but so like doing press for this movie, he would show up to places wearing like sweatpants and a t-shirt and not wearing his toupee. And people are like, damn, what the hell? And he's like, I'm not James Bond. I'm Sean Connery. And I like to be comfortable.
Damn. Just, he sound like me.
This is amazing. I love this.
He's just like, fuck you. I'm going to do what I want.
I need to start taking notes.
Yeah. But so, yeah, like him. But yeah, like, so he's just like, he's Sean Connery though in Japan as they're filming. And he, you know, he sticks out like a sore thumb. And so he's just like getting harassed constantly. Like, oh, you're James Bond, blah, blah, blah. You're James Bond. You're James Bond. And he's like already sick of being called James Bond all the time. And he's just like getting more and more pissed off the entire time they're making this movie. And that's why he just like starts like throwing a fit like during the press of it. And then they're like, you want to do another one? And he's like, fuck no.
And then eventually he did another one.
Yeah, because they paid him a shit ton of money to come back and do another one. Because, yeah, they got George Lazenby to do Honor Majesty's Secret Service. And then they paid Sean Connery a shit ton of money to come back and do one more. Because
they're like, George Lazenby is not an actor, sir.
But, yeah, so you can kind of tell if you watch Sean Connery in this movie, you can kind of tell he's like sick of being Bond.
He's kinda, like, I kind of got the vibe of like the Harrison Ford, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's
like,
very much that, which is weird that they were in a movie together later on.
That shot. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Indiana Jones.
That's interesting that you like know, once you know that story, like I'm sure you pick up on it really well. Yeah. But I was like, as watching that without knowing that story and without knowing like any of the other Bond movies, like, yeah. I was just thinking that was part of his character, was he was just like super nonchalant, just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, yeah. But like this one, it's like, it's just kind of a little more exaggerated of the like, I don't give a fuck attitude. Yeah.
Like with Roger Moore, he's like super lively and like quick and quippy and everything. And we were watching a little bit of one of the Timothy Dalton one,
The Living Daylights.
Yeah, and he like seemed like pretty like involved and energetic. And obviously like Daniel Craig, like, and Pierce Brosnan, as bad as most of the Pierce Brosnan movies are, he seems to be like trying at the very least. And like, and Sean Connery, I saw this and I was like, wow, he's really phoning it in right now.
The thing that's the main difference when you watch the other Bond movies is that Sean Connery is an actor who got cast in a role that got turned into a franchise. And like, he was kind of just like on for Dr. No, and then all of a sudden got like wrapped into doing all these other movies. While everybody else who follows him wants to be James Bond.
Right. And you look at it, Sean Connery has the best career out of any
Bond.
For sure. Like by a country mile. Like he's been in all sorts of types of like great movies. Whereas like most of the other Bonds, it feels like they weren't.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's done okay. Pierce Brosnan's like been in Hollywood for a while, but he's also not been in like great movies all that often.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia comes directly to mind because that is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
He's in Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's true. He was the ultimate hero in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. And then like Roger Moore is more of a stage actor than he was in a TV show before James Bond. And then after James Bond, he just kind of did bit parts and went back to doing stage stuff. But yeah, it's
that's what he liked to do.
Well, for sure. Exactly. But yeah, so Sean Connery is just kind of like, he's the one that has the most disdain for James Bond of all the actors. He's just like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
let's see. I like the stuff that I like in this movie, though, is I think Little Nelly's awesome. The little helicopter.
Oh, yeah. The little gyroplane. Yeah. I liked it. It reminded me of the Road Warrior with missiles.
Yeah.
Missiles are much better weapons than dropping snakes on people and cars.
This movie actually has a lot of like pretty great just like random Bond gadgets in it. Yeah. Like the cigarette that shoots.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's a great one.
That was the first time I laughed out loud throughout that movie. Because I think they had a couple of one-liners before and I was just like, wow. And then the first scene where he was showing the cigarette and he's like, the cigarette could save your life. And he's like, you sound like an advertisement or something like that.
Yeah. And then, let's see, I know there's another one. Got that cool little safe cracking thing.
The exploding bullets.
He's got the exploding bullets too. It's pretty neat. It's got that sweet suction cup suit.
Which one?
That's how he climbs into like into the volcano. Is he like has that like suction cup suit that he's like crawling down the wall with? I like that. So I realized after we were talking about how he didn't jump into his convertible like he should have. I was actually like doing a little research and that was not, I mean, it's a convertible on screen. It's not originally a convertible.
Oh, they just like sawed the top.
They sawed the top off a car because Sean Connery couldn't fit in the Japanese cars.
Amazing. So,
like his like head was like up on the roof. So like, all right, just fucking cut it. I don't know. So they didn't even like replace it with a soft top. That car is just like forever a convertible.
They didn't have any other convertibles.
Just like, fuck it. That's what we're doing. That's
amazing.
Yeah. It's also the only Bond movie where he doesn't drive.
There you go. You're right. Yeah. Well, he drives a little helicopter.
Yeah.
But like you're right. He doesn't have his cool.
Because that was cool Aston Martin. It's a
far cry from the invisible car.
Yeah, that's true. And like the sweet Aston Martin he has in Goldfinger that comes back in Casino Royale. Also, I'm pretty sure that it is the girl in the one of the opening scenes when James Bond dies, like the girl he's like in bed with.
Right.
She is also in Casino Royale. She's like one of like the random people like working in the casino has like a very small bit part, but it's like a random cameo callback kind of thing.
Why did they do the whole Bond dying thing at the beginning?
I think it's basically because like leading up to this, he's such a bad spy that like he like just kind of like blows his cover all the time. Like in Goldfinger, he's straight up like under an alias and he just like introduces himself as James Bond or Bond James Bond. And so they basically like to like take the heat off him and like to make like whoever is orchestrating this like plan to like start a world war. They're trying to like make them think that Bond's dead.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause at this point in the crime world, Bond is like a household name. So they're just going like, they hear that James Bond's dead and like, oh, well shit, we can do whatever we want now. Like
He was spotted again. Like,
yeah. Until he was spotted again.
5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Like fucking wait. Blofeld, who's trying to manufacture the whole world war, decided to fake James Bond's death?
No. The MI6 did.
Okay. I guess I'm trying to understand exactly, like, how this... Because you just said you're, like, the whole, like, who was orchestrating the world war, like, plot and everything, that they were responsible for James Bond's death at the beginning of the movie.
No, I didn't. Did I? I didn't mean that if that's what I said. Okay. The whole reason for like that fake death is so that they think that he's dead.
Okay.
But that, that's why they have like a public funeral for him and everything.
Right.
They have like a public like Navy funeral for this spy.
Okay.
But it's MI6 that like stages the whole like death at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
I guess that's fine. They do the same thing in Skyfall, don't they?
Except MI6 doesn't know. That one's like a completely accidental fake death.
Okay, so that one's pretty much like he got knocked off the train. Yeah. Or got like shattered, knocked off the train.
Because in Skyfall, Moneypenny thinks she killed James Bond.
Yeah. He's just doing it just so he can take a fucking vacation.
Basically, yeah.
And
he gets drunk
and slap scorpions or whatever he was doing.
Yeah, because at that point in Skyfall, he's like, you know, the character version of Sean Connery, where he's like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, he like fakes his own death just so he can like get out of it.
So he can take a vacation.
Yeah. Or he doesn't intentionally fake his death, but he just kind of rolls with it when it happens.
He's like, well, I fell in the water. I guess I'm dead now. I'm going to go hang out in Cancun.
But yeah, do you know what other, so Blofeld, it's Donald Pleasance. Do you know what other movie club movies had Donald Pleasance in them?
Donald Pleasance.
He's in two other ones.
I do. I know them both.
Do you?
No.
I was wondering if you looked it up on IMDb or something.
I have no idea who that actor is. I have no idea what movies you guys have all seen.
I'm trying to think of things that he would be in like age-wise. Was he in Bedazzled?
No.
Was he in that Beatles movie that we watched?
No.
Was he in Austin Powers?
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm just kidding.
I don't think so. No, if you're looking for the 60s, you're in the wrong place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Most of what we watch is 80s movies.
That's true. We do watch a lot of 80s movies.
That's because the 80s are the fucking like best era for movies.
I cannot watch old movies.
Oh, 80s movies are like, they can always be watched forever.
Nope. Not me.
Like stuff from the 50s. From the 50s and 60s is a little bit whatever, but like 80s movies, well, they're like timeless treasures.
Even then, like, even like the 90s for me, really. I mean, like,
90s doesn't date very
so,
well.
So much of like what I look for in movies is like based on visuals that like, I just have such a hard time watching. And
well, then you'd like the 80s movies because it's like almost all practical effects. it's all like explosions in the, like there's a bunch of explosions all throughout and like a bunch of action movies in the 80s. It was like they were going overboard with that stuff, but it's a lot of practical effects. Mm-hmm. And
but I mean, even like the colors and like the contrast and stuff like that, just like the cinematography and like things like that. Just it's, I don't know. I'm underwhelmed a lot of the time.
Okay. I'm going to go with Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh, you're on the right track.
Okay, so Escape from New York.
Yeah, Escape from New York. He's the president in Escape from New York.
Okay. And then, what would be the other one?
The other one's going to be harder.
Was he in Mac and Me?
No, he was in Mac and Me. It is one of the ones we watched in October, if that helps.
So it was a horror movie.
Yes.
Was he in Halloween?
Yes.
Okay.
He's the guy, he's like the psychiatrist that's like trying to track him down or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Loomis.
Loomis.
Yeah. So he's in Halloween as well. So there you go. That's right. The Donald Pleasance Movie Club Cinematic Universe.
All right. The Donald Pleasance Cinema Universe. As much like Blofeld, I thought he was like, okay. Everything and like I liked him with the kitty.
Yeah.
Until he turned around and he had like his like weird goofy eye that was also like kind of sagging over like as the movie went along.
Yeah.
Because the lights were probably on like the makeup and everything and it was probably melting it. But like fucking Christoph Waltz will always
Waltz is the best.
He'll sure. always have my heart for everything when he whatever he's in.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz is easily the best Blofeld.
Yeah,
of all the people who've played him.
How many people have played Blofeld?
Four or five different people.
Has there been more Blofelds than Bonds? No, it'd be like the same.
Yeah, it's let's see. Because hang on, I'll figure this out really quick. But so. I guess I'm counting the people who played him. It like not showing his face
as Kitty Petter number one.
Actors who played Blofeld. Because then there's another. It's another one that's like kind of iffy. They don't say it's Blofeld, but at the beginning of A View to a Kill, which is the last Roger Moore one. James Bond kills a guy who is like you're supposed to assume is Blofeld, but they don't actually like openly say it.
Does he know or not know that it's Blofeld? Because if he doesn't, then that just makes him seem stupid.
No, he knows it. Like you're just it's the opening scene. So he's not going like, I'm going to kill you now, Blofeld. Like, it's just like, it's like the opening scene of like this like chase.
Okay.
And like, it's the guy running away and you're supposed to just assume it's Blofeld.
Does his parachute not go off and he crashes into a circus? That might've been my favorite part of Moonraker was when Jaws flailed his arms in the air and then crashed into a circus.
Telly Savalas plays him on Her Majesty's Secret Service. What else was he in? I'll look it up a little later, but, let's see. Yeah. So the first two are uncredited and like voiced uncredited. And then it's Donald Pleasance, Telly Savalas, Charles Gray. Then John Hollis is the guy who's uncredited at the beginning of, View to a Kill. And then there's another one that's voice uncredited. Then Max von Sydow plays him in
I like Max von Sydow.
What does he play him in? Oh, I think he plays him in the spin-off Bond movie. In Never Say Never Again.
Oh yeah, that and Sean Connery's in that one, right?
Yeah, that's another Sean Connery one, but it's not made by Eon Productions.
So it's not technically James Bond.
It's not the Bond movies are weird in that there's not like Eon Productions does not have the rights to make. Well, they have the rights to make Bond movies. They don't have the exclusive rights to make Bond movies.
Okay.
So there's been two times where there's been another Bond movie made by someone else that has come out at the same time. One being the original Casino Royale that was actually more of a comedy And that came out the same time as this movie.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was Never Say Never Again that came out the same time as Moonraker.
It's kind of like how MGM didn't have the exclusive rights to Wizard of Oz, even though like their Wizard of Oz is what everybody associates the Wizard of Oz with.
I take it back. Never Say Never Again came out the same time as Octopussy, I think.
Okay.
But anyway. But yeah, so those are like the spinoff. So Never Say Never Again is James Bond, but it's Sean Connery at the same time that he's doing like The Last Crusade. You know, so it's like, what? It's like old.
Did they dye his beard or?
I think, when did The Last Crusade come out? That might be wrong. It might be around the
Last Crusade was in 1990.
1989. It's around the time of Temple of Doom. So Sean Connery's not in that one.
Okay.
It would have been like 83. So yeah.
Nah, that's a movie that took the low road and just took racism to a whole new level. I have a love for Temple of Doom, even if it's just like in just how fucking weird it is.
I honestly haven't seen Temple of Doom in a long time.
It's interesting. You're either gonna love it or you're gonna hate it.
Anyway. Like what I was going to say is though about Blofeld is basically just that, like, so he's obviously like, he's like the iconic Bond villain. And we haven't seen him for so long. Well, so modern day us up until Spectre had not seen him for so long that he's like, you know, kind of just become like a part of pop culture, that he's like just the stereotypical bad guy. Yeah. Like how many times do you see a bad guy in a movie? And he's like stroking a cat or something like that. It's like, that's like, or he has a scar across his eye. You know, it's like, what? It's like the stereotypical, like,
yeah,
he's just become like almost like such like a parody that it's like back in the day, it would have been Sinister, like this character, but like you see him and you're just like, yeah, okay, this is like such an over the top bad guy.
I just immediately associate him with Dr. Evil. Like that's,
well, exactly.
That's all I associate him with. That's all I associate with him with now. Well, and Christoph Waltz now, but like,
well, that's what Christoph Waltz did a great job of, like making the character like a real like character again.
Yeah.
And not like a character, you know?
Yes. He made him a character, not a cartoon anymore.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see more Christoph Waltz Blofeld movies.
I am as well.
Because
he's a very,
like the author of all
he's
your
a
pain.
Wonderful man.
Yes. Well, we talked about everything, including life or what movie to watch.
I only live twice.
I was gonna go License to Kill. No, wait, that's not what we watched. Just going through all the Bond movies.
They all just like mash together in your brain.
Yeah.
And me, I'm like, I don't know.
I'm
there's something
convinced.
With a gun or whatever.
I'm so convinced we watched Austin Powers.
I would say so, like you not watching any Bond movies before, you should definitely check out at least check out Casino Royale. I think that's one that you would enjoy. That's like obviously like the more modern day version of Bond, where more like of a fun action movie. Well, not fun. It's dark, but it's a good action movie. And Daniel Craig's awesome.
Like as far as like what you would probably enjoy is probably Casino Royale and Skyfall.
Yeah.
Maybe I think Goldeneye. I actually saw
Goldeneye. Goldeneye also could. Well, that's a 90s one. So, you know, it's the 90s. So it is kind of dated, but like
it's a good Bond movie, though.
It's a good Bond movie. It's
got some fun.
I don't know because I've never seen it, but.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I played that crappy overrated video game a couple of times.
That, like some of the Bond movies, the Bond video games have aged so poorly.
No, some of them, like Nightfire and Agent Under Fire, those games are still good.
I haven't played Nightfire in a long time.
Nightfire is awesome.
I love Nightfire back
in
the day.
We had one. I don't remember which one it was. I wish Chris was here.
I think it was Nightfire.
I couldn't tell you. I just remember I got that game taken away from us because apparently there's like a sneak feature or some kind of like a stealth feature, and you're like supposed to run around in the multiplayer and be stealthy because obviously you're a secret agent. And my dad came down and saw me like tiptoeing behind some guy, and I went up point blank and like shot him in the back of the head at age like 7 or something. So he's like, yeah, that's enough of that game.
No more of that. Wait till Halo comes out and it's blue blood.
Well, yeah, I mean, he didn't care. He said it, his reasoning was not that it was because I killed somebody. He said he would have been fine if it was just like Call of Duty or something, like where it was just like run around and kill everybody. He said it was the way that I killed somebody that was like, yeah, this might mess my kid up a little bit.
Well, you know, that's why James Bond can't get close to anybody.
dun, dun, dun. Everybody around him dies. He's just everybody a twisted character.
Including that lady that he was next to. His wife didn't die. He tried to have sex with her in the inflatable boat.
Yeah.
Until the submarine came and came
down. That's true. But she's not.
Can he go literally 5 hours without trying to fuck something?
No, he can't. She's not technically his wife, though, because he used a fake Japanese name. So she didn't marry James Bond.
Did they ever say what his Japanese name was? Okay, good.
I'm glad they didn't. It's another one of those, like, I'm glad they didn't.
It could have gotten real bad.
One of the best examples, before I draw a movie here, one of the best examples of James Bond being dated, though, is in Goldfinger, when Sean Connery makes fun of the Beatles and how they're like a flash of the pan band.
Oh my God.
He's like straight up like, cause this is like right when the Beatles come to America, and he's just like making fun of like, oh, that noise, like no one will know it in 10 years or whatever.
Oh, that sounds so good.
That's like really funny.
That make me fucking like cry. Just like that scene in The Wrestler when they're in the bar and Marissa Tomei and Mickey Rourke are like Mickey Rooney.
That's a movie I want.
Marissa Tomei and Mickey Rourke are talking about how much they hate Nirvana and they call Cobain a pussy. I'm like, oh, damn it. I was liking this movie too.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next Bond feature film will be La La Land.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Moonlight. It wasn't that shitty movie La La Land.
I'm sorry. It's GoldenEye.
I picked this one.
Oh, really?
Because I've never seen it before.
I did too. How about that?
Would you look at that?
We stacked the deck.
What was GoldenEye the mystery one from last week too?
No, it wasn't. It was the Living Daylights. The World Is Not Enough. So we would have watched a Pierce Brosnan one regardless.
Yeah, no matter what, the deck was stacked so that we could watch Pierce Brosnan. I almost wrote down The World Is Not Enough. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I know Cal wanted to watch this movie, so maybe. But like, I've never seen GoldenEye before, and everybody tells me that this is the good Pierce Brosnan movie.
Yeah.
Because like the other three are like very famously maligned. So I wanted to see this one.
This one's interesting too, because it actually features another 00 agent. It has 006 in it.
Okay.
And he's like a main character. So it's interesting because normally in Bond movies, even if we do see a 00 agent, they're like a throwaway character. Like they're just kind of barely on screen at all. So it's interesting because now you get to see like what two 00 agents together is.
So they're like working together.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Because like Skyfall, there's a 00 agent in there, right?
I don't know if there is. I don't remember. I don't recall. But anyway, if you liked what you heard, you can rate and review and all that stuff. Hit subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and on the podcast app of your choice. If you want to help support us, you want to get the episodes early, patreon.com/alienhappyhour for all that stuff there. There's all sorts of different tiers. Even if it's $1, we appreciate it. That's patreon.com/alienhappyhour, Facebook Alien Happy Hour, and YouTube Alien Happy Hour, where The Fast and the Curious is coming back on Wednesday. So get ready. We watched Fast Five. So,
woo!
Yeah, there you go.
Is that the good ones?
Is that the first one with The Rock?
Yes, it is. We watched I have now watched 5 and 6. 5 is the one that's coming out on Wednesday. But yeah, I enjoyed it. That was fun.
Only 2 more until my favorite one.
Yeah. I am very excited to see 7. I'm actually like really looking forward to that one. Even if like I've heard that like it really like is just kind of the ending that's great.
Yep.
But I've been around for such a long run now that I'm like I'm in. Like let's see it.
It wasn't bad. I just thought the rest of it was just kind of mediocre, and the ending was spectacular.
Yeah, well, I mean I'm excited to see that now that I'm fully invested in the characters.
It definitely wasn't painfully bad like some of the other ones.
Yeah,
what I've heard about Furious 7, I would probably love it for all the wrong reasons.
All right.
You didn't silence your phone.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't. You're right. Tisk. I actually
didn't grab your popcorn.
I didn't.
So.
You're not a professional. Unsubscribe.
Taylor is at Taylor Not So Gang. Do you want to plug your Twitter?
That's fine.
Okay. Matthew is at
real LeVar Ball.
Real LeVar Ball, not the fake LeVar Ball.
And it's a long Twitter handle. You can't really say much to him. And I am at Ben Schwind, and you can follow all of us at Alien Happy Hour. Thanks for listening. The Movie Club will return with GoldenEye.